Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
This episode is powered by Poddex. Poddex are unique interview questions and episode-starting prompts in the palm of your hand. So whether you're a new podcaster or existing broadcaster looking to grow your audience and have more meaningful conversations, you're going to want to check out Poddex. Now, if you want to get 10% off your order right now, you can go to poddex.com and type in coupon code. What's the code?
Larry21.
Yes, that's the code. Check out poddex.com. Take your podcast to the next level.
Welcome to the True Crime Never Sleeps podcast. We dive into stories of true crime, from unsolved cold cases to historic kidnapping to gangsters and beyond. We are your source for true crime. We thank you for listening.
Welcome, true crime fans. And this week, our story takes us to Detroit, Michigan. Detroit, a city already fraught with racial tensions, one night's events spiraled into a tragedy that would not only claim the life of Vincent Chan, but also ignite a landmark civil rights battle that resonates to this day. If you're looking to understand the full story behind the shocking headlines, you've come to the right place. Before we do that, give us your thoughts on this case in the comments section below. Give it a thumbs up if you like your video. And of course, hit that subscribe button, bell notification button to be notified of future videos. Without further ado, let's dive in to this story. In this story, we'll tackle the most pressing questions that arise from this poignant story. Who was Vincent Chan? What circumstances led to his tragic death? Was the attack on Chan a clear-cut case of racial hatred? And what became of the man who ended his life, and how did the courts respond to this disturbing act of violence? Vincent Chan was born on May 18, 1955 in Guangdong, China, and moved to the United States with his mother, Lily Chin, when he was a young child. After settling in Detroit, Vincent became a naturalized U.S. citizen and integrated into the local community. He intended Control Data Institute, where he received a degree in computer drafting, reflecting his deep interest in technology and engineering. Working as an industrial craftsman, Chin was known for his easygoing personality and was respected in his profession. Engaged to be married in June 1982, he was planning a large wedding and looking forward to starting a family, embodying the American dream his mother had sought for him when they first immigrated. During this period, Detroit was a city in turmoil. The 1980s marked a severe economic downturn for the region, primarily due to the declining fortunes of the U.S. auto industry. Once the bustling heart of America's manufacturing prowess, Detroit saw its cornerstone industry lose significant market share to Japanese automakers who were exporting more fuel-efficient cars to the U.S. during a time of rising gasoline prices. This economic shift resulted in massive layoffs and factory closures, leading to high unemployment rates and economic instability throughout the region. The profound impact of these layoffs stirred deep-seated resentments within the local workforce, predominantly directed against the Japanese. However, this hostility was not confined to corporate criticism, but extended to a more generalized and misdirected anger towards all Asians. Asian Americans, many who have had no ties to the auto industry, found themselves the target of racial slurs and violence. The environment was ripe with xenophobia, fueled by a combination of economic insecurity and a lack a nuanced understanding between different Asian identities. The media often compounded these tensions, framing the economic narrative as a direct East versus West confrontation, thereby exacerbating the animosity towards Asian Americans. The situation for Asian Americans in Detroit and across the country was precarious. They navigated a landscape where their contributions to American society were overshadowed by a broad anti-Asian sentiment. This period underscored the fragile nature of racial tolerance in America, particularly when economic pressures mount. Asian American communities found themselves defending their place in American society, fighting stereotypes, and advocating for recognition of their civil rights amidst a backdrop of economic and racial turmoil. This turbulent atmosphere set the stage for the tragic events that would unfold on the night of June 19th, 1982, when Vincent Chin was mistaken for a Japanese and targeted, his fate sealing a critical moment in the history of civil rights in America. His death would later serve as a catalyst, transforming the Asian American community's fight for justice and equality, and bringing a national attention to the issues of race, identity, and reconciliation in the United States. So what exactly happened on June 19th, 1982? Well, Vincent Chin's last evening of freedom began with celebrations at the Fancy Pants Strip Club in Highland Park, Detroit, where he and his friends gathered for his bachelor party. The night was meant to be a joyful farewell to single life, but the presence of Ronald Evans, a foreman at Chrysler, and his stepson Michael Nitz, who was recently laid off from the auto industry, would tragically alter the course of events. The atmosphere turned volatile when Evans, influenced by alcohol and economic frustrations, directed racial slurs at Chin, mistaking him for Japanese. Evans accused Chin, and by extension his race, of being responsible for the American auto industry's decline, reportedly saying, quote, "It's because of you little motherfuckers that we're out of work." This incendiary comment reflected the broader misdirected anger towards Asian Americans at the time. Chin, defending his dignity, retaliated, and a physical altercation ensued. The fight escalated until security intervened and ejected both parties from the club. However, the conflict didn't end with their removal from the bar. Fueled by rage, Evans and Nitz pursued Chin, finding him outside a nearby McDonald's. There, the confrontation reached its tragic conclusion. Evans, armed with a baseball bat from Nitz's car, violently attacked Chin. Despite attempts to flee, Chin was struck several times in the head. The severity of these blows, witnessed by horrified onlookers, left Chin critically injured. He was rushed to Henry Ford Hospital, where he succumbed to his injuries 4 days later, on June 23, 1982, without ever regaining consciousness. This sequence of events from a night that began in celebration and ended in tragedy, to a courtroom outcome that shook a community, exposes a deep-seated issues within the legal and social fabric of the time, and provoked a significant civil rights movement in response to the injustices that unfolded. Ronald Evans and Michael Nitz were central figures in this tragic event that led to the death of Vincent Chin on June 19, 1982. Their backgrounds and the roles they played that night reveal a complex mix of personal frustrations and social tensions that escalated into a deadly confrontation. Evans was an auto worker who had risen to the position of foreman at Chrysler. By the early 1980s, the auto industry was in decline, with American companies like Chrysler facing increased competition from Japanese manufacturers. This industry-wide crisis directly impacted workers like Evans, who saw their livelihoods threatened by layoffs and plant closures. Michael Nitz, Evans' stepson, had recently been laid off from his job in the auto industry, a victim of the very economic pressures that was causing widespread unrest among American auto workers. This personal impact of the industry's downturn was a source of significant stress and bitterness for Nitz. The initial motive for the confrontation between the three seems to have been fueled by a mix of alcohol, racial prejudice, and economic anxiety. On the night of Chin's bachelor party, both Evans and Nitz were also present at the Fancy Pants Strip Club, and the presence of Chin, an Asian American, tragically became a flashpoint for Evans and Nitz's frustrations. According to witnesses, the altercation began with Evans hurling racial slurs at Chin, accusing him, and by extension, other Asian Americans, of being responsible for the economic woes of the American auto workers. This accusation was not only misdirected, but also steeped and racial animosity as it conflated Chin's Chinese heritage with Japanese automakers. The situation escalated quickly when Chin responded to the verbal abuse. A physical fight ensued in the club, with both parties participating in the brawl. However, the conflict did not end with the club security breaking up the fight and ejecting both groups. It was carried outside when Evans and Nitz decided to pursue Chin further. Like we mentioned, they left the bar, went to a McDonald's, and that's where Edmonds, with a baseball bat, delivered the fatal blows to Chin's head in a brutal display of violence that was witnessed by onlookers. The legal proceedings following the murder of Vincent Chin were fraught with controversies and perceived injustices that sparked widespread outrage, particularly within the Asian American community. After Vincent Chin's death, Ronald Evans and Michael Nitz were quickly arrested and charged with second-degree murder. The legal process initially seemed poised to deliver a harsh punishment, reflective of the gravity of the crime. However, the trajectory of the case shifted dramatically during the court proceedings. During the trial, the defense argued that the killing was not racially motivated, but was instead a spur-of-the-moment conflict that escalated out of control. They portrayed the altercation as a brawl gone wrong, influenced by alcohol and high tensions, rather than a racially charged murder. These arguments seemed to resonate with the judge, who ultimately accepted a plea deal from Evans and Nitz. The plea deal was controversial. Both men pleaded guilty to reduced charges of manslaughter.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
Stop in and save big money on your next outdoor lumber project now at Menards. Menards has the largest selection of AC2 pressure-treated lumber and decking, and it's easy to load in our outdoor lumber yard. Plus, you can get free estimates fast with our deck design program in-store or on Menards.com. Check out our weekly flyer for more great deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Decision was met with disbelief and anger by many who saw it as a gross miscarriage of justice. The sentence handed down was lenient to the point of being shocking. Both Evans and Nitz were sentenced to 3 years of probation, fined $3,000, and ordered to pay $780 in court costs. No jail time was imposed. This outcome was perceived by many as a slap on the wrist, especially given the brutal nature of the attack and the fact that it resulted in Chin's death. The public reaction to the legal outcomes was one of profound outrage, particularly in the Asian American community, which saw the lenient sentences as evidence of systemic racial inequities in the American justice system. The perception was that Chin's life was undervalued in the legal process, and that a similar crime involving a white victim might have resulted in a far more severe punishment. The Asian American community rallied, sparking a movement for justice that gained national attention. Activists, community leaders, and ordinary citizens came together to demand a reevaluation of the case and the broader issues of violence and legal equity. Protests were organized, and the case became a focal point for a burgeoning Asian American civil rights movement. The case also led to the first federal civil rights trial concerning an Asian American victim in the United States. Though Evans was eventually acquitted of the civil rights charges, the trial further highlighted the racial dimensions of the case and fueled ongoing debates about race, justice, and equality in America. The legal outcomes of Vincent Chin's case remains a poignant example of the challenges faced by minority communities in the legal system, and continue to be a rallying cry for reform and greater awareness of racial issues within that system. The public outrage and subsequent activism spurred by this case marked a significant moment in the history of civil rights in the United States, underlining the need for vigilance and advocacy in the pursuit of justice and equality. The murder of Vincent Chin had profound civil rights implications, galvanizing the Asian American community and sparking broader discussions about racial injustice and legal reforms. Various Asian American groups, which had often operated independently based on national origin, came together to form a united front. Organizations such as the American Citizens for Justice were founded specifically in response to this case, aiming to advocate for justice for Vincent Chin and to address broader social and legal injustices. The mobilization was characterized by a series of protests, educational campaigns, and legal battles that sought to bring national attention to the case and its implications for racial equality. The ACJ and other groups worked tirelessly to educate the public about the dangers of racial stereotyping and scapegoating, using Chin's story as a stark example of where these malignant views could lead. The Vincent Chin case became a rallying point that highlighted the inadequacies of the legal system in dealing with racially motivated crimes against Asian Americans. It exposed deep flaws in the criminal justice system, from the handling of hate crimes to the broader issue of racial bias in legal proceedings. The initial failure to recognize the racial motivations behind Chin's murder and lenient sentences for his killers brought to light the need for significant change in how hate crimes were prosecuted and punished. This case underscored the vulnerabilities of minority communities and the often dismissive attitude of the judiciary towards crimes perpetrated against them. It prompted a re-examination of what constitutes a hate crime and stressed the importance of having legal provisions that adequately protect racial minorities from targeted violence. In response to the activism spurred by the Vincent Chin case, there were calls for and eventually changes in hate crime legislation, both at the state and federal levels. One significant development was the strengthening of federal hate crime protections, which included improving the mechanisms for reporting and prosecuting racial violence. States began to reconsider how hate crimes were defined in their statutes, leading to more inclusive and comprehensive laws, which offer both better protection to victims and of racially motivated violence. Moreover, the case influenced the implementation of mandatory training for police and other law enforcement agencies in identifying and handling hate crimes. This training was aimed at sensitizing law enforcement officials to the nuances of racial violence and ensuring a more just response to such incidents. The legacy of Vincent Chin's case continues to impact the legal landscape and the Asian American community activism. It serves as a poignant reminder of the ongoing struggle for racial justice and the importance of vigilance and advocacy in challenging systemic discrimination and ensuring that the law offers equal protection to all citizens, regardless of race. Excuse me. The legacy of Vincent Chin continues to resonate powerfully within the Asian American community and beyond, serving as a stark reminder of the challenges and inequalities faced by minority groups in America. His story has been preserved and amplified through annual remembrances and ongoing educational campaigns that not only commemorate his life, but also educate the public about the implications of racial prejudice and violence. Each year, the memory of Vincent Chin is honored through various ceremonies and events that include vigils, speeches, and community gatherings. These bring together people from diverse backgrounds to reflect on the impact of racial violence and the ongoing struggle for civil rights. Educational campaigns are crucial, with schools, universities, and community groups incorporating Vincent's story into curricula that discuss civil rights history and the specific challenges faced by Asian Americans. These initiatives ensure that new generations understand the significance of Chin's story and the broader context of racial dynamics in the U.S. The Vincent Chin case has become a seminal point of reference in discussions about race relations in America. It is frequently cited by legal scholars, civil rights activists, and educators as a clear example of both the progress made and the challenges that remain in the fight against racial discrimination. Vincent Chin's story remains profoundly relevant in today's social climate, where issues of race and justice are at the forefront of national discourse. The rise of anti-Asian sentiment and violence, particularly in the wake of the COVID-19 pandemic, drew direct comparisons to the racial tensions of the 80s. Many see parallels between the scapegoating of Asian Americans during the economic downturn of the 80s and the recent spikes in hostility and violence against Asian communities. Thus, the legacy of Vincent Chin serves as both a historical caution and a contemporary rallying cry, emphasizing the need for continuous engagement with issues of race, justice, and human rights. The media and cultural impact of the Vincent Chin case is significant, revealing shifts in societal understanding and the role of various media in framing civil rights issues. Initially, when Vincent Chin was killed in 1982, media coverage was relatively limited and often lacked depth, especially in its analysis of the racial dynamics at play. Local media in Detroit covered the incident and trials, but national attention was sporadic and sometimes superficial. Early reports did not fully engage with the racial motivations behind the murder or the implications for the Asian American community, reflecting broader societal issues and recognizing and addressing racism against Asian Americans. Over the years, however, the media revisits the case. However, the way the media revisits the case has changed dramatically. Today's coverage is more critical and nuanced, often highlighting the racial prejudices that influenced judicial outcomes and discussing the case within the broader context of American civil rights struggles. The evolution of media reflects a growing recognition of racial issues and a more sophisticated analysis of systemic racism. The internet and social media have also played crucial roles in revisiting and disseminating Chin's story, ensuring that it reaches a global audience and continues to engage activists and scholars in discussions about race and justice. As we consider the impact of Vincent Chin's story, let us reflect on our own roles within our communities and the broader society. How can we contribute to a more just and equitable system? What actions can we take to ensure that the lessons learned from past injustices do in fact lead to lasting changes? I encourage you to think deeply about these questions and consider the impact of racial prejudice not only on individual lives, but also on the fabric of society. Let us use the memory of Vincent Chin as a catalyst for change, ensuring that his story continues to inspire action against injustice and promotes a greater commitment to civil rights for all. And that is our true crime episode for the day. Let us know your thoughts in the comments section below. And of course, give us a thumbs up if you like our content. Hit that subscribe button, bell notification button, be notified of future videos. And of course, if you want to support the channel financially, head on over to buymeacoffee.com/TCNS. And your support helps the channel grow, upgrade our equipment, bring a new host, be able to pay them, and hopefully one day take this show on the road. And your support can help make that happen. As always, thank you so much for watching and listening. We'll see you next time.
You have been listening to the True Crime Never Sleeps podcast. Thank you for listening. You can follow us on Facebook at True Crime Never Sleeps podcast and on Twitter at True Crime NS. And follow us on Instagram at True Crime Never Sleeps. Thanks for watching. If you want to support the show, buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/TCNS or become a patron at patreon.com/truecrimeneversleeps.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel.
Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.